In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The epistle comes from 2 Corinthians. Brethren, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. For not that he that commandeth himself is approved, but he whom God commands. Who to God would you bear with some little of my folly, but do bear with me, for I am jealous of you with the jealousy of God. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present to you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins, who, taking their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom and the bride. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. But the 5 foolish, having taken their lamps, did not take oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. And the bridegroom tarrying, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, the cry was made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye therefore to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, saying, Lest perhaps there be not enough for us and you too. Go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now whilst they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. But at last there came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But when he answered, said, Amen, I say to you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, because you do not know the day nor the hour. This concludes the reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. You may be seated. Today's Mass is being offered for the most lost souls. Today is the Feast of Teresa of Avila, and just as we talked about before, at the end of the conclusion of Mass, I have a first-class relic of St. Teresa of Avila, a little bit of her bone, I believe, that's there, and you can venerate that after Mass. Please don't steal it. It's really important to me. It was an ordination gift from my spiritual director in Rome. Great, great gift. In fact, this week a young man called me from a seminary and asked me if I could sponsor him to be able to receive a number of relics that he's trying to acquire. A good pious seminarian wanting to have relics just like our own Fabian. I can see him in this one who's there. I believe he's a Vietnamese student. I've never actually met him before, but he was recommended to me by a good seminarian from our diocese. He's tried to get one of Teresa of Avila and contacted the postulator of her cause in Spain, and they said, no, we don't do that anymore. We don't have any more relics of her. She's been gone for a long time. So he was sad of that, and I said, well, I have one. So that was a happy moment for me, a sad moment for the seminary. So with regard to the life of St. Teresa, what I mostly want to commend you to is, rather than giving you, since we're doing a Misa Cantata, not giving you anything longer or more meaty today, I want to commend you to reading, remember, the retreat that we gave a year and a half ago here. Listen to any one of those talks, the retreat talks or the other talks for the mission. Either both of them are full of quotes, particularly the retreat talks, of things from the life of St. Teresa of Avila. Go and listen to them again. I think they're quite good. And you can be inspired more by what prayer is for her, prayer being that connection between us and God, the greatest privilege that we have to be able to call God our Father, as we will very soon together over the course of this Mass. So I want to share with you something on the life of Teresa of Avila and give you just a little bit push in that direction. So the Virgin of Avila, Teresa, she came on the scene in the Catholic kingdom of Spain, and wonderfully she was gifted with, by grace and by nature, she experienced the resistances of her nature as well as the call of God in her soul and the purifying delays and progressive triumphs of love. The Holy Ghost, who intended her to be a mistress in the Church, led her, if one may so speak, by the classical way of the favors he reserves for those who are called to be perfect. Having arrived at the mountain of God, she described the road which she had come without any pretension but to obey him who commanded her in the name of the Lord. This is where she wrote her book on her life. With exquisite simplicity and unconscious of her own self, she related the works which she accomplished for her spouse, which you can read about in the book of her foundations. And she made over her daughters to understand the lessons of her own experiences, which you can read about there in those foundations. The way of perfection, and described the many mansions that the castle of the human soul centered on which she can reach it and will find the Holy Trinity residing within her as an anticipated heaven. Read about that in her interior castle. No more was needed. Withdrawn from all the speculative abstractions and restored her to that sublime simplicity, the Christian mystic again attracted every mind. Light reawakened love, and the virtues flourished in the Church, and the baneful effects of heresy and its pretended form were counteracted. This is what Teresa did within the Church. Now, doubtless, Teresa invited no one to attempt, as presumptuously and as vainly, to force an entrance into those uncommon paths of perfection which she herself was going. But if passive and infused union depends entirely upon God in his good pleasure, the union of effective and active conformity to the will of God, without which there would be an illusion, may be attained with the help of ordinary grace by every man and every woman of goodwill. That includes those of us who are here at Mass today. Those who possess it, possess that union with God, have obtained, as St. Teresa of Avila says, quote, what was lawful for them to wish for. This union I have had all my life desired, and have always asked the Lord. It is also the easiest to understand and the most secure. She writes that in her interior castle, speaking about the fifth mansion. She added, quote, this, and this is important for us today, where I want to dwell. Beware that excessive reserve which certain persons have and would others take for humility. If the king deigned to grant you a favor, would it be humility to meet him with a refusal? Think of that for a moment. She gives that example. If a king were to come, king like we're praying for in this Mass, Donald Trump, if the president were to say, hey, come, I have a favor to give you. I want to give you something that's really going to help you. Would it be real humility to say, oh, no, no thanks? That wouldn't be real humility. This is where she's going with that. And when that sovereign Lord of heaven and earth deigns to honor my soul with his visit and comes to lead me with his graces and to rejoice with me, should I prove myself humble if I would not answer him, nor keep his company, nor accept his gifts, but fled from his presence and left him all alone? A strange sort of humility is that, right? She continues on. She says, look upon Jesus Christ as a father, as a brother, as a master, or as a spouse, and entreat him in one of these or other of these ways. He himself will teach you which is the one that best pleases him, and that it behooves you to choose. And then, be not so simple as to make no use of it. Did that make sense to you? I'll expound it a little more. Maybe that's a little harder to grasp. What he's speaking about, and as I've seen in giving direction to souls, is that sometimes when a particular soul is drawn into this greater call of movement, to move beyond the prayers which are normally held for those in the beginning stages of their lives, and is invited to something deeper, oftentimes the soul will cower back and say, well, I'm not worthy of that. I know that I've led a life that's like this. How could I go that extra step? No, I can't do it. And so they are given to a false humility saying, well, I'm not worthy of it. Who are you to determine your own worthiness? Doesn't St. Paul speak about that in Corinthians? Everybody's coming down on his case, and he says, look, I don't even judge myself. Stop judging me before my time is here. You're not the one who can judge your own self. In fact, the spiritual masters remind us that we are the worst judges of our own soul, where we're at. Who are you to judge yourself unworthy if the master, the king, the lord of our souls, the lover of your soul, says, you're worthy of it, come closer? That is a great false humility, which really means a deep, deep and profound diving into the vice of pride. So if the Lord is calling you, if he's calling you to something deeper, if he's inviting you, he's saying, come join with me. Come spend time with me. I have something I desire to give you. The only humble response would be to go forward. Yes, you may recognize that you're unworthy of that call, but then to take those steps and to realize that you have one of these relationships with Christ that he's calling you to. Maybe you don't know which your relationship is. It's totally fine, is what St. Teresa of Avila is saying. He's saying what? Those roles are, maybe the Lord is calling you brother or sister. Maybe he's wanting to relate into you in this moment as a master or as a lord. Maybe he's wanting to relate with you as a spouse. Treat him in one of these ways. And if you don't know which your role is with Christ yet, then ask him. Say, I don't get it. Which one am I? Are you wanting to relate on me as though we're two that are traveling on the same path together? Or maybe you're wanting to relate to me as one who is my lord and my master, and all I have to do is obey you. Or maybe we've arrived at the intimacy of spousalship, where you are the spouse of my soul. Then go in that direction and allow yourself to be simple enough to use that invitation that the Lord has given you. She goes on in another place and says, this way is beset with many snares and difficulties. Such a soul was lost in it. Such one went astray, and another who ceased not to pray could not escape the fall. See the inconceivable blindness of the world. It has no anxiety of those thousands of unfortunate creatures who, entirely strangers to the path of prayer, live the most horrible excesses in life. But if it happens by a misfortune, deplorable no doubt, but very rare, that the tempter's actions to seduce the soul that prays, they take advantage of this to inspire others with the greatest terror and to deter them from the holy practices of virtue. Is the individual not the victim of a most fatal error who believes it necessary to abstain from doing good in order to avoid doing evil. You must rise above all these fears. Endeavor to keep your conscience always pure. Strengthen yourself in humility. Tread underfoot of all earthly things. Be inflexible in the faith of our Holy Mother, the Church. And doubt not, after all that, that you are on the right road. This comes from the 22nd chapter of her work, The Way of Perfection. It is true as well that when a soul finds not her in herself that glorious faith, and her transports of devotion do not strengthen her attachment to the Holy Church, that she is always full of perils and dangers. The Spirit of God never inspires anything that is not conformable to what is written in Holy Scripture. If there were the slightest divergence, that of itself alone would suffice to prove so evidently the action to be given from the evil spirit, that were the whole world to assure me as I was in the divine spirit, I would never believe it. She writes that in The Work of Her Life, chapter 22, or chapter 27. And so it is that many people, when they experience a difficulty in that, discourage others from going down that way, saying, no, if you go down this way, things are going to be rough, they're going to be hard. So just go ahead and hang back. Keep your relationship at a certain distance from God, and things will go well. Because I tried to go further, or that one tried to go further, and what happened is they fell greatly. If you stick with the Lord will show you the right direction that he's trying to lead you in. It's the humility of the soul that Teresa lived out that was always to say yes to God. Yes to God. Now some of you today, maybe you're a little younger than 50. Maybe you're about 50 or a little bit older. St. Teresa of Avila, this great saint, doctor of the church, she didn't start praying until she was 50 years old, and she had already been in the convent for many years prior to that as a Carmelite. So if you think you're still trying to figure out what this prayer is, and maybe to this point you've not prayed well up to this point, that's still fine. You're doing better than Teresa of Avila, who wasted so many graces of religious life not really giving herself to that silent prayer. Ask our Lord in this Mass for that grace of humility, first to hear his call. Second, to not cower back from it. Third, to have that humility to go forward. Fourth, to have that humility to be honest if you don't know how you're called to relate to him, whether that's his brother or his master or is the intimacy of a spouse. The humility to ask him which it is. And then that very same humility to just say yes and be with him. One thing is certain. The King, the Master, the Lord, your spouse, your brother, he is calling. He's calling us into the intimacy of his presence here in this Mass, and as well to linger with him a bit after Mass in Holy Communion. Let that call, even if it's gone unanswered a million times up to today, today be the day in which we answer with a little greater joy, with a little greater acceptance, with a little greater willingness to receive whatever it is that he desires to bestow in whatever relationship that he's given us to experience. St. Teresa of Avila, Doctor of the Church, Master of the Spiritual Life, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.